Well, hey there, and welcome to the Saints Church Glory Hills podcast. We're so happy that you joined us today. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, we believe that God will speak to you through one of our pastors today. Let's jump in.
In Luke chapter 14, Jesus is teaching these things, and he's talking about a whole bunch of stuff, and he talks a little bit about resurrection, and one person pipes up like, it's just that guy. That guy pipes up and says this in verse 15. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "Man, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." Like, he just said, like, oh my goodness, Jesus, a feast in your kingdom, that's got to be off the charts. That would be the best thing ever while he's sitting with Jesus. And Jesus doesn't say, yeah, you know, we do it right in God's house. He doesn't like go to listen. He replies with a story. And I love how Jesus does this, because the idea of what the king is doing, the call of God, the invitation of his presence, is pretty hard to convey with just, here's a five-star restaurant, banquet, Michelin star, whatever you like, smoked brisket barbecue, you know, you take your pick. It's like we all imagine the kingdom of God and heaven a certain way. But I think what Jesus is trying to get across is not only what the eternal kingdom is like, but he's like, there is a kingdom here and now, and I want you to see what you could be a part of or what you can miss out on. And so Jesus replies with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. And when the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I've just bought a field and I must inspect it, so please excuse me." Another just said, "I bought 5 pairs of oxen. I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." And so the servant returned and he told his master what they had said. And the master was furious and he said, "Go quickly. Quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." And when the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country, to the country lanes and behind the hedges, and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's living, it's powerful, it's active. And I thank you that there is an invitation of grace that only you could offer to us. And Lord, I pray today you would open our hearts to see how desperately you desire to be with us and involve us in your kingdom, not just in eternity, but in the here and now. In Jesus' name, amen. Invitations are a funny thing. I think sometimes invitations can be a privilege or a pain. You ever been there? When you get that invitation to somebody's wedding, depending on how close you are with the person, I'm going to sound like a horrible human being right now. Like, do I have to give up that long weekend to go out of town for your wedding because you felt you should invite me because I'm your pastor? Did you really want me there and to spend $100 a plate so I can miss 2 days of work and all that stuff and come bring you a gift? Or like, should I just not come and you save the money you would have spent on my plates at the wedding and that's my gift to you? You know, like, no, I don't view it like that. I view it as a privilege to walk with God's people and our family, and we are family. But here's the other thing. Okay, what about an invitation to a kid's birthday party? I grew up for years and I was Dean and Jeremy, the only dads at the family party. Like, this next generation, like millennials, Gen Z, you kind of changed, like, dads go to birthday parties. Our generation, like, if you were a dad at the birthday party, you were the one weird guy talking to all these moms with their kids. Or in mine and Dean's case, we were the guy watching the bouncy house, making sure no one died while all the moms had coffee and dessert. And invitations, they come to you and they're more like a privilege and a pain. And so I never saw birthday invitations. Brandy just stopped saying we're invited to a party. She started telling me we're going to this or we're not going to this, right? And so I didn't have a choice, and that's okay. And I mean, I always have a choice, but it's a privilege. But we put a lot of effort in invitations because we're preparing something, we're doing something. And I remember, guys, you would probably, I hope you remember your wedding invitations. You were there. You were involved in the process on some level, even if it was, signing a check or paying the bill for those said invitations. But most of you, like, it's changed now, but you had some engagement photo shoot where you did really weird pictures that you would never pose like that in real life. Like, mine and Brandy's is a picture of us, like, laying in the grass, and it's from the top down. That was our wedding invitation. And then, like, we had to, like, put things around the invitation. Like, we got married in the early 2000s. It was a different era. It wasn't just, like, nice, clean, simple, send it out to print, this we get. But now you got save the dates. And I'm like, save the date? Are you telling me that you're not that organized that I need to save the date because you're taking 12 months to plan? And then I was joking with my mom the other day. There was a save the date for my cousin's wedding on the fridge. I'm like, I didn't get one of those. It's okay. We have a big family. There's like 90 some of us. And I'm like, I feel like save the dates are kind of like, it's kind of like a draft. And you're told you should be paying attention, but you really wonder, will you make the cut? Because does that other invitation actually come? Like, if you got to save the date in the mail, but another invitation didn't come, do you go to the wedding? Think about that. Because you're like, was I invited by the save the date? Or were they just saying, let's send everyone a save the date. And then when we pare down to the 120 people we actually want there, some people just aren't going to make the cut. They didn't get selected this year. And so sometimes, like, I just think sometimes we get these things and we do this. Like, I'm not the only person. We run around in our minds and we think, am I the workplace invite? Am I the friend of a friend invite? Am I the, I better invite them because if I invite this person but not them and I know they're close, people's feelings are going to be hurt. Like, are we the sympathy invite or are we actually wanted there and all those things? And so we've actually kind of taken on a new era with invitations let me tell you this. 30 years ago, I've been married 20 years, but 30 years ago, when we were planning our wedding, my pastor told me, he said, Jeremy, you're only going to get married once. And I said, that's what you think. No, I'm just kidding. He says, you're a pastor. You should only be getting married once. And he says, you can worry about money and stuff. But he goes, I would make it the biggest party with the most people that you have involved in your life that you can. And in years before we got married, when weddings happened, they would announce at the church, like, so-and-so is getting married. I knew people that would do it after church on a Sunday, and they would just invite the whole church to stay. And then they would still have the dinner and the banquet with, like, their closest friends and family. But they would say, hey, if you're a part of our life in a church family, if there's 300 of us here, stick around after because we want to have coffee, cake, and we're going to get married in front of the people who we're walking with in life. Because it was a community thing. You go back even further into the times of the Bible, it was a big thing. And now we've kind of taken on an attitude, we'll pick and choose. Is it convenient for me? Do I want to buy a gift? Registries are a whole other thing. I probably don't have time to go there today. But if you want a gift from me, you're getting a gift from me. Like, if you want to tell me what to buy you, I'm sorry. That's entitlement on a whole nother level. And we're like, but we don't want ugly stuff. Well, get over it. You're getting more than your parents ever got when they got married. Anyways. I'm probably just bitter because my wife wouldn't let me register for tools and garage items, you know? So anyways, let's get on track here. We've become a little nonchalant in it, and it's amazing. This story would have been amazing in Jesus' day because weddings and feasts were a community thing, and you wanted to be a part of your community. And when these people start saying why they can't come, it's going to start blowing their minds. Like, well, maybe that's a good reason, maybe it's not. And it really starts making them think. And when we look at the story of the invitation of the king, and I want to tell you today, there is a call of the King of Kings. There's an invitation by God himself. He's prepared a feast. He's prepared a banquet. And when this guy says how wonderful it would be to eat bread in the kingdom, what Jesus is setting up is the whole idea that I am the bread of life. And even though God has placed me here, for everybody to experience my grace and who I am, there will still be some that wonder and they get wishy-washy and they go back and forth on whether or not it's valuable to them to be a part of that. And we go, oh no, well, we wouldn't do that, but would we? Because God's grace is so extravagant, and there is so much room, and there is so much grace in who God is, but grace can be despised. And it can be downplayed and looked upon as, well, God will always be there. And what Jesus is saying, no, God will fill his house, and he will keep his church moving forward, and he will keep bringing people in, but we will choose on how we respond to the grace of God in our lives, both in this life, in this moment, in this time, and how it will affect us in eternity. Because this guy's talking about eternity, and Jesus is like, hey, look, I'm here, I'm now. I want you to live kingdom life now. There is the bread of heaven, a grace of God for us to be a part of in our day-to-day right now. And I think there's times it sort of seems to shape our life and live our life according to the call of the kingdom, the call of the king, the call of the house of God. It becomes a little bit inconvenient to the life that we are building. And we start treating the call of the king, the call of the house of God, the call of the kingdom like a pain more than a privilege. And we lose the energy in our heart that says, like the man said, what a privilege it would be to have bread in the kingdom of God. And I don't have to tell you, you serve God for any amount of time. There are Sundays, there are things that come up, there are calls to evangelism, there are calls of what it is to be a believer and walk in the grace of God, that one day we thought, how amazing is this, and what a privilege it is to walk with God, to serve God, to come pray, to come worship, to come do those things. And then there's days where we're like, oh, it's such a pain that they planned that this week. And what I want us to lean into is that when we understand there's a call of the king in our lives, and there is a kingdom culture that God is trying to build in the here and now that actually changes and affects eternity, one of the first things we have to come back to, and what I want us to know today is this, is that busy is an enemy of being with the king. And if you haven't learned this by now in your life, busy will never get less busy. Busy will never get easier. Busy is something that we all have to deal with. I've actually tried to stop saying to people when they ask me how I'm doing, I've tried to stop saying I'm busy because everybody's busy. Busy is relative to the stage of life you're in, to the responsibilities you have, to the things that you got going on. Everybody's busy. So nobody wants to hear another person say, well, I'm busy, because then we're just trying to say, well, I'm more busy than you. Because the truth of the matter is you have that friend and then you say, hey, we should do something sometime. And they say, oh, I'm so busy. But if the right person asks you to do the thing that you want to do, you could be unbusy pretty quick to make it happen. And busy is an enemy of being with the king. This is the heart of God. This is the heart of his presence. He wants to gather us in his presence. He wants to gather us in his grace. He wants to gather us as his people, and he wants to show us what he can do when we get together in a room like this, when we gather to hear the heart of God, the culture of the kingdom, and then we go back and we live it out of our lives. But for some of us, we've made busy an idol, and God is trying to gather us together, and we're like, we've kind of become the person we're like, well, if the king calls me for a one-on-one meeting or coffee, I'll be there, but I don't know if I need to be at the big gathering all the time. Pastor Jeremy invited me to men's breakfast. Well, he invites everyone to men's breakfast, but if he invited me for one-on-one coffee, I'd make time. I'm using myself as an example because I'm not that important, but then you look at it, it's like, but this is what we do to God. God is saying, there is something for you by my grace and in my kingdom and in my house, and I'm calling my people to live a kingdom life here and now, but your busyness will become an enemy of being with him and being a part of the purpose and the call that he has for your life. Verse 17 to 20 in Luke 14 says this, when the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. There is a time and a place where God says, gather, be a part of what I'm doing. Get involved in this ministry, this situation, the move of God in the Spirit. And one said to him, they started making excuses. One said, I've just bought a field and I can inspect it. I need to inspect it. And like, this is in Jesus' day. And some of you are going to get real, like, squirmish, because I'm kind of going after some things today, because the reality is We all got stuff going on in life. We're all trying to build our house, our kingdom. And I talked about last week where our house needs to be a part of a bigger vision, which is God's house and his kingdom. And this is the same thing. And so when the king is saying, by my grace, there's something I'm doing. There's something I want you to be involved in. And these people start saying to him, yeah, but God, I bought a house or I bought a field and I need to go look at it today. The question is kind of like, but couldn't you pick any other day? Because if there was something else important to us that is the immovable, we would make the arrangements to do it another time. Because we like to live with the idea that this is the only time something would work. And maybe it is. There's a rare occasion. But that's not always the case. So then the another says, well, I bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. It's like, I just bought a new car. I want to put the top down. Go cruise the Hyundai, you know, that's about as good as it gets around here in Edmonton if you buy a convertible. I mean, kind of a sad reality on a Sunday morning compared to being in church, if you ask me. But hey, you know, like, he says, I bought five pairs of oxen, and I need to go try them out. What do you mean you need to go try them out? Like, it's just walking and working in the level of priority where it fits. And then this one gets real, real. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Now, this is interesting. People, yeah, but like, didn't in the Bible, when you first got married, they commanded you to stay home, like, and not go to the army? Yeah, you got a year off from the army, so you didn't die on your wife in the first year. You never got an excuse to miss the feast, the festivals, and the things that God called all his people to. That was never an exclusion in the first year of marriage. It was for military service only. And the feast, the festival, all those things, it was never, you read commentaries on this, you do that, and it's like the person says, hey, I just got married, I have a wife, I can't come. And one commentator I read is like, no, you won't come. You could come, but you won't come. And this goes back to leadership of your home and your household and how you communicate. Like, it's the whole Adam scenario back all over again. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden where God asked Adam, take responsibility for what you did. And he goes, the wife you gave me did this to me. And it's like, guys, come on. Well, you know, I'm newly married. We got a lot going on. I can't come. No. Quit blaming your wife for not doing the things that God is asking you to do. Get involved. Be a part of this. And busy, this idea of busy becomes so distracting. And what it actually does, church, is it separates us from being with the king. I don't need you here just so I can look at the numbers that Johnny texts me every week and feel good or bad about myself. I got other ways to feel good and bad about myself. 1 week we're 305, the next week we're 210, the next week we're 240, then we're 295, and then it's 187, and it's like all these things. And I've just been rebuking sickness in Parkland County in Jesus' name because like that's been a ringer lately. But when it comes to areas of our life, we have to be careful that when God is calling and he's asking us to be a part of his kingdom, a part of the here and now, what he is doing, we can make excuses or we can prioritize his presence. And I'm not saying that you don't value his presence. I'm not saying that we don't value being a part of what God wants to do in our lives. My question today is this: have we valued it enough to make it the immovable thing? Because I know every single one of us have other things in our lives that we will not move for anything. And for some reason, in the culture, in the day and age that we live in, we have made the kingdom of God, the house of God, the involvement in what he is, that is the first thing that we can move. Because God forbid you move your kids' sports or their music lesson or what you want to do. And hear my heart in this. I understand the nature and call of shift work in business today. You don't always get the luxury of certain things. But my question is in your heart and in your home and how you lead, is the house of God and the call of God and the involvement in his kingdom? Because we can say this, well, I do serve God and it's all this one-on-one stuff. That's great, but God does call us to gather and be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And so does it become the thing that it's like, we don't make plans then because that's when we meet with God and God's people. We all get vacation time. We only get so much time to go away. Take your vacations. Do those things. Enjoy your family. But if your family sees your enjoyment with them as a higher priority than the things of God, you're teaching them something without actually saying it. The average person gets 4 to 6 weeks of vacation a year when you come into a mature spot. So you miss 6 to 8 Sundays a year. Great. The gathering together. But it's become so easy for us to make, when we have to shuffle and do things we want, that the house of God, the people of God, the presence of God is the movable thing, because God will always be there. But it distracts and it keeps us and it pulls us away from what God actually wants to do in our life. And I'm not saying we don't value it. But my question is, do we make it valuable enough to become our immovable? I remember growing up, and how many remember growing up? We've all I haven't fully grown up, but you know, I'm getting older. Let's just put it that way. I dared not ask my parents to go do something on a Sunday, unless it was after church or between services. Like, I knew the answer beforehand. One time, played in a soccer tournament because gold medal game was Sunday morning. I actually got kicked out of the game. I got too many yellow cards and a red card, so it didn't work out for me anyways. We won silver. But it was the exception, not the rule. I'm not saying don't make exceptions. I'm just saying our hearts can quickly turn that it is so easy to put something else as the priority when God says, hey, my grace is there. There's room. I'm doing something. But we can actually kind of despise it a little bit because it interferes and it inconveniences the life that we want to build. And my question for us is, do we want to build what God wants to build in our homes, our families, our lives, or do we want to build what we want to build? And busyness will always be an enemy of being with the King, hearing his voice, being led in his presence. Second thing I want us to know this morning is this: the house will be filled. I can guarantee you of that. The house will be filled, but our question is how do we want to be a part of it? See, God cares about his church more than we care about his church. And that's why throughout all the ages and the centuries and time, persecution or not, good times, bad times, there is always a thriving, moving atmosphere of the Spirit of God, because even when men and women despise the grace of God, and let's get the whole context here, he's actually talking about a Jewish culture that would despise the grace of God, and so the gospel would go to the Gentiles and the whole world, and he said to the servant, go get everyone who can. My grace is big enough for anyone to come to enter in. There's something to be a part of the kingdom, but there will be people who actually grew up in it. They had first right to it. They know the blessing of God that's coming. Covered their life, and they could care less about it. And it's like the parable of the sower. It's the cares of this world just kind of choke out what God's been trying to do. And the house will be filled, but what part will we play in it? Or will we play a part in it? Verse 21 to 23 says this: the servant returned and told his master what they had said. And the master was furious, so he said, go into the streets and the alleys of the towns and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, and the others. And when he had done this, the servant reported, there's still room. So his master said, go into the country, lanes, and behind the hedges, and urge anyone you find to come, so that the house will be full. And I think a big question for us is, not only will we be present in the gathering of God's people, but will we participate? Will we serve? Will we go out and gather? See, just as busyness can become our excuse to disconnect us from what God wants to do in a kingdom mindset, we can actually still be in the house. We can be like, well, it's getting kind of full in here. We realize that. I'm going to talk about that next Sunday a little bit more. We're doing everything we can to stretch our goals, our kids' ministry, to make sure we're making more room. But the reality is that we can be present, but the call of God is not just for us to be present in his kingdom. It's to participate and play a role and experience his grace and carry that out to other people and invite them in. And so the question is, will we serve? Will we go out and gather? Will we participate? Because the servants who were preparing the banquet and doing the things, they were always trying to make more room for more people to come in and experience the grace. And sometimes we were serving for a season and we were involved and we felt the purpose of God and the kingdom life, and he calls us in. Can I tell you today that you will get more words from God or hear his voice or feel like God is leading you when you get alongside and serve with other people who are pursuing him as well? Because you live your whole life disconnected from the family, from the kingdom, and you have no one to rub shoulders with that encourages you in your gifts, your call, your ability. You get very lost in your busyness. You get very distracted outside of the gathering of God's people. And God does that for a reason, so we can come together and we can move forward in what he has for us. But some of us, we've done it in one season, but we've separated ourselves out from it. And I believe the question that God is asking some of us right now is, will we not only be present, but will we participate? Will we pick up a calling of the kingdom? Will we go out and gather? Will we bring people in to a place where they are changed by the grace of the King? Because truthfully, oh, the truth hurts sometimes. One of my great mentors, love his preaching, Pastor Mel Davis, used to say this. He said, look at me right now and smile, because I'm about to punch you in the face. We called him the Godfather. He'd wear pinstripe black suits all the time. He really was. But truthfully, why would your friends, neighbors, and people that you're trying to gather into the kingdom want to come when you don't even want to be there? I've said this all the time. We should attend a church that we genuinely enjoy being a part of and going to, and we would want to bring people to. If you don't want to ever bring someone to church with you, or you are ashamed to bring them to church, maybe you're in the wrong church, because God's purpose and plan is that we're building kingdom, and we should be excited about his house and what he's doing and his purpose, because our home, our house, our life is actually guided and directed by a bigger vision than our own, and that's what God's doing in the earth. And so we come to this place where we have to realize the house will be filled. God is not a respecter of persons. God will bring people in. He will raise up new leaders. He will bring people that have a passion and a desire to fill the house. He'll bring people in. He is not a respecter of persons in the sense of he loves you, he cares about you, but he will not force your hand, your arm, but he will call people into the house so it is full, because he has a purpose and a desire to draw all men and women to himself. But the last thing I want you to know is this, and I'm going to have the band come back up, and then we're going to celebrate with baptisms so we can put a smile back on our face. I believe that we have to start living like in this house and in the kingdom of God, where we believe an empty seat is a serious matter. I heard this phrase years ago. Pastor Willie George, who planted and started a church on the move in Tulsa, Oklahoma, he said this. He said, an empty seat is a serious matter. And when we look around this room, we don't have as many empty seats as we think, because we're getting tight. We're seeing what, okay, God, what's next? But when you look and you see a seat next to you that's empty, God wants it to be filled. In Luke 14, 22, as the servant said, after he had done what the master asked, he said, there is still room for more. Can I tell you this? Number one, an empty seat is a serious matter, but number one about that is this. When you're not here, the body is incomplete. See, this is not just about me getting you in a building. When you are not present, when you are not here, the body is not complete. It's empty. It's missing pieces. It cannot function properly. Ephesians 4, verse 16, I believe this is what every church should look like. And it says this about Jesus. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body, everyone say whole body, is healthy, growing, and full of love. I believe that he is fitting together that the body might be complete. And when you're not here, the body is not complete. And that doesn't limit God. Okay, let's be honest, in his sovereignty, it doesn't limit God. When you're not in the lobby talking to someone that I may never catch on a Sunday, somebody's not getting encouraged. When you're not fighting in the scrum of 30 kids trying to get in and out of kids' church, and you just need to give someone a hug or tell them that you've been praying for them, somebody's not hearing what Jesus wants to say to them. When you're not here serving in the parking lot and helping cars park, there are actually people that probably drive in and drive by and feel like, this is too much for me, it's too overwhelming. And I've known this in church before. They circle the parking lot and they drive away and say, I don't know if I can do this. People aren't being welcomed in. And God is forming and fashioning the whole body. He's fitting us perfectly together. And so an empty seat is a serious matter, because when you're not here, we're not complete. But the second part of that is, when we see an empty seat, it means that's a friend, that's a neighbor, that's a brother, that's a sister, that's someone who is far from God and does not know Jesus yet. And that is a place that we should be praying over and saying, Lord, this seat needs to be filled. Why? Not because we want to feel more full and it get hotter in here and us be inconvenienced, but because we actually see the need for people to know Jesus is greater than our comfort and convenience in a room on a Sunday morning. And I believe that God is calling us as a body to not let busyness be the enemy of his purpose and his call in our life. He's calling us to come gather and be in a place where we realize the house is going to be filled and I have a part to play in it, and I'm going to pick up that mantle. I'm going to pick up that call. I'm going to start serving, and I'm going to say, Lord, when I first met you and I first realized your grace, help me see again what a privilege it is to be a part of what you're doing. And Lord, let us be a place in a church that always remembers an empty seat is a serious matter, and we need to make room, and we need to go out and gather and bring people in. Why? Because people need to know Jesus. They need to know that he wants to bring them near. They need to know that a banquet has been set, that grace has been extended, that they don't deserve it, but there is a place for them at the table. There is a God who wants to form and fit them together, and we want to build a church that is healthy and growing. Can I just tell you this? A lot of times people say healthy things grow. Well, that's not the only case, because mold isn't healthy and it grows too. But we want to be a church that focuses on being healthy, and it means we need to get under the presence of God, the principles of God, the truth of the Word of God, but we want to be growing. Why do we want to be growing? Not to make a name for ourselves, but to point to Jesus, to build a beacon of hope, to show people that there is a God who would welcome them in, that there are people that actually will be nice and friendly to them when they don the doors of a church, that they won't be looked at as outsiders, but they will be welcomed in so they could actually encounter the living power and presence of Jesus. So we got to be full of love. And so why don't we stand this morning? I'm going to close with this and pray, and we're going to start a song, but then we're going to make our way into baptisms. But there is a call of the King. There's an invitation for each and every one of us to play a part in what he is doing. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is our sufficiency. He is our everything. And the Father is calling us together. Why? Not that we experience a good song or a great sermon. No, it's that we experience the very life-changing, empowering presence of Jesus, who is the bread of life, who feeds us, who nourishes us, who did everything for us. We experience a grace we couldn't deserve, and then we can live out a kingdom life that says, I have something to distribute to others. If you think of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 3,000, what does it say Jesus did? He took bread, he broke it, he gave it to the disciples, and they distributed it. This is what Jesus did for you and me. He took his own life, the bread of life. He went up on the cross. He was broken. He was torn apart. But he says, I will empower my people by my Holy Spirit, and my Father will invite them into my grace. And then I am going to ask them to go out and distribute the very life of God that they have received to people around them. Sometimes we're like, but God, what if I don't know what to say, or what if I run out? There was more than enough. There was stuff left over. There was always more to reach more people. Why? Because God is going after people. We need to be a church that gathers to scatter, that builds to bless other people, that becomes those who see so importantly how an empty seat doesn't just mean we're a little more comfortable on a Sunday and we have a buffer between us and our neighbor who maybe didn't shower last night. No, we see it as a space that someone who really needs to experience Jesus should have been here and they're not here this morning, and who can I bring to fill that spot? There's a call of the King, an invitation to play our part, to be a part of what he's building. And we cannot be under his direction and be healthy and growing when we are not present with him and with his people. So Father, this morning, I pray for every single person in this place. I thank you for pulling on my heart. God, I pray that we would see a new revelation, and as the testimonies come through the waters of baptism about who you are and what you're doing and how you're leading people, God, I pray that we would come back to the place where we don't wrestle so much with the calling of your house, the opportunity to serve, the things that you're asking us to do in our community. God, they're not a pain, they're a privilege. That invitation that you give us to come in and be a part of a kingdom, a house, a place bigger than our own homes, our own house and what we're building. You care about those things. But God, when we set our hearts under your vision, we will find more purpose, strength, and life than we could ever imagine. And Lord, I just pray this morning we would get a fresh revelation to see that it is a privilege to be a part of the house of God, to be invited into your grace. And we have a responsibility to be those who serve and go out and gather. And God, I pray that your house would be full. I pray that your house would be full, not so we build a name for ourselves, but so that people see there is a God and there is a Savior who loves them and cares for them and wants to walk with them in every area of their life. But Lord, let us lead the way. Let us show them what it is to be a part of kingdom life. Let us show them what it is to walk with Jesus one step at a time in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, come on, and everybody said, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you have any questions or are looking to get connected in any further way, head to saintschurch.ca, and we would love to meet you.